If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd like to turn to Romans 12, and I'm reading the first four verses. Romans chapter 12, the first four verses. This is what it says in the Lord's Word. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer up your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves. Sorry about that, I just lost where it was. But think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we praise you and thank you that you are our God. We thank you for your love and your grace. We thank you, dear Lord, for your purpose in our lives. And tonight, dear Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. Dear Lord, we need our daily bread, and we ask that you would give us our daily bread here this evening, that you would feed us, that you would supply your water of your life-giving spirit to nourish us so that we might grow and develop, and that, dear Lord, our hearts would open, we would blossom like a flower, like a mighty river, dear Lord, that we would then be able to stand for him who has saved us. We would stand for him who cares for us. We would stand for the one who loves us. We ask all these things in your holy and precious name, and God's people said. Amen. Well, thank you very much for inviting me here today. It's always wonderful to come amongst you and find out what you're doing and what you're involved with. As Terry sends his regards, but he can only get a morning pass. He can't get an evening pass, I'm afraid. He can't be with us this evening. But my wife and my daughter are here to support, and we like coming to Siloam in Cardiff. It's one of our favourite places. So be encouraged, be enthused about what you're doing. You are a light in this world where there is so much darkness. Let's turn to the Lord's Word. What state is your mind in? What state is your mind in? Do you know we can stand on the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and grasp the promise that he has given us, and we're able to say, Lord, you have told me I'm able to renew my mind. I'm able to have a new mind. I'm able to have a mind which isn't full of turmoil. For in this world and the society in which we exist, by and large, our minds are full of rubbish. They've been polluted. We get whole huge loads of nonsense and lies which are poured into them by the media, by those who teach us, by those who should know better, by those who lead us. And because of that, then they get into turmoil because they don't know what truth is. You just have to listen to what the news tells us, that one minute this food is good for us. Then a few years goes by and really it's terrible food for you. You shouldn't be having it. And then you should go back to what you used to have. But there again, you have to be careful of the amount of salt or the amount of fat that you're taking into your body. Our minds can be full of nonsense. Our minds seek answers. And if they don't find the truth, then they have no peace, because they have forgotten that they're able to stand on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are able to say to him who loves us, Lord, give peace to my mind, renew my mind, give me a mind, dear Lord, that will bring glory and honor to you. For you have said in your word that my mind is able to be renewed and think in a different way. If we don't do that, that has consequences. And the impact of this is easy to see upon our society and the people we live and grow with. People tend to do a terrible thing. It's called monkey do. And we mimic what those monkeys do in the world. If one were to put their hand in a jar, then we'll put our hand in a jar. This causes consequences in our lives. A press article a few years ago stated that a taxi car was set alight by two people in a petrol station on the Malpas Road, and that's near Newport. Why did they do it? It doesn't really give you that level of detail. But there were also two passengers inside the car. And basically, while it was at that petrol station, a car drove up. Two men jumped out. One grabbed a nozzle from the petrol dispenser and poured it over the car and then set light to it. Fortunately, no one was injured. While I was driving home the other night on the Cwmbran Drive, and at a particular roundabout at Pontnewydd, a man was on the chevrons. On that roundabout, he was trying to kick the cars as they were going by. If he succeeded, he could have ended up seriously injured, he could have lost his leg, or even worse, he could have been killed. Why are we like this? Why are we like this as a people? Why are we like this as a society, that we seem to be so angry about everything all of the time? We constantly see in our media people hurting one another. There has to be a better way than this. Perhaps we think this is all unique to ourselves. But as a species, we seem to have this leaning of whereby that our minds are always in an unrest position. Paul was encouraging those who he was writing to change the way they were. For the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, enables us to change. To change. In this reading, Paul wrote, "I urge you, brothers." He's not talking to strangers. He's talking to people he loves. People in an established church where their minds are in turmoil. And he's trying to say, there's a different way. There's an alternative. Your minds do not have to be in turmoil. You don't have to be in conflict. You don't have to be in trouble. Rather, stand on the power of the Lord Jesus Christ through his Holy Spirit, through the promises that he has given you. And say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I claim the promises that he has given me into my life through his word, that I can have a mind which is not in trouble, not in turmoil. Do you believe that? Do you have the faith to claim that in your life, that your mind can be renewed? That your mind can be transformed. Are you able to gain the freedom of Christ in your life? They had to renew their minds. Paul was saying that there is another way, a better way of living. That you could grasp this. This could come into your life. Rather than get wrapped up in the world, get wrapped up in he who wraps himself in light. That you don't have to behave like the world, rather you can behave like Christ would behave. Paul was speaking to a race who had known debauchery, and they praised and worshipped idols. A race which knew wars and slavery, a people who were in fear. They needed something to change in their lives so they could escape that fear that ensnared them and kept them acting and behaving and thinking and talking as they once did. What about you? Do you fill your life with the worship of idols and of things which really just decay and fall apart in front of your eyes? Do you ensnare yourself in the worship of idols, and do you satisfy yourself in such a way that when you come out the other end of that bit of pleasure that you receive, you feel guilty, and that you know that you've hurt God because you haven't brought any pleasure to Him? Is it that you prefer to turn away from Christ rather than embrace Him and then embrace the freedom that He gives so that you might live a life that brings pleasure to Him and pleasure to the world, and you feel and you discover fulfillment in your lives? Our society in which we live today refuses to recognize God. They've become seduced by the world. But what about you? As you attend church, as you come here Sunday after Sunday, do you always listen but you never learn? Do you ever grow in Christ? Do you always stay the same and you never change? If that is the case, loved ones of God, is your way working? Do you receive grace and peace and honor in your life? Or do you always struggle? Are you always in conflict? Paul was urging those people who are going through the same things that we do to think a different way, to take another way, to move towards Him in Christ, to renew the thinking of their minds so they might know a new freedom, a new way of life, a new way of living. When Christ enters the mind and soul of a person and the Holy Spirit comes into their life, they are renewed. They are rejuvenated. Have you experienced that rejuvenation? Have you changed who and what you are because of the power of the Holy Spirit? Are you able to say, I'm going to push all those things to the side because the promises of God in my life, it states and says that I can stand on those promises. I have faith because of the Holy Spirit. I am able to say, oh, what was gone before is nonsense and can be forgotten, and I can have glory and honor in Christ. When Christ enters the mind and the soul of the person, when the Holy Spirit comes, there is rejuvenation. You are changed. Something new and wonderful happens. That which once would ensnare you, that has power over you, can be cast away, can be blown away, for He brings power to give you freedom. But do you experience that freedom, that power which comes from Him? Or is it you say, well, I still quite like this here. I know it doesn't do me much good, and I'll only have this little bit of power from you, but I'd like to keep this. And then you wonder why that you perhaps you don't feel free. Why you don't experience Christ in all the power that your lives should you receive it. That which once binds you in the power of Christ, you can be released from it. You can experience a new freedom, a new power of life. Most people today say, and I hear this in where I work, that they feel dead inside. That nothing has life for them. This euphoria that we have regarding the Olympics, we wonder if it could carry on. But already they're looking to the negative side of it. They've forgotten in a fortnight it's going to be the Paralympics. That's coming along. But many people feel and think dead thoughts. They read and watch dead things. Many people that feel that their lives and fill their lives with things that destroy them. And the reason for this is because they cannot help themselves. They believe there's no alternative because that is what their friends are doing. No one's offering them any different. And when they've looked for that alternative, they have been unable to find it. For even perhaps the very people that inhabit God's house upon this earth have not grasped the life and love that they should receive so they're able to give to others. Christ came into the world not to condemn it but to free it. Do you know and do you understand and do you feel this freedom? What provides hope in our society? What breathes life into it? You know, we see our children. Our children become drug addicts. Alcoholics, abusers of people, because they in turn have been abused. But what alternative do they have? What is society offering them? What are we as Christ Church offering them? You know, even in, with our church's environment today, we have to develop rules and regulations to protect our young children. For we have forgotten fear in Christ, for it says, suffer these little ones to come unto me, but woe to you if you force these away from me. It would be better to put a millstone round your neck and throw yourself into the deepest oceans. Yet we know what has happened within, in the name of Christ, in his house upon this earth. You've forgotten that fear. Because of the freedom he gives us, we can escape from those things that would abuse other people. See, Christ is the way. He's prepared to encourage you, to urge you, to push you forward. But you need to find him. You need to give your life to him. You need to be ready to be transformed by him. Your mind, your life, all that you are, that you enable his power to come into your life. He will show you the way that you are worthy, that you do have purpose, that God is committed to you. But are you committed to him? So that you might know self-worth, that you might know the joy of love of someone in your life that gives you love, which doesn't expect anything in recompense. So that you might be encouraged and the world might know that you are going to win, that those who abuse you aren't going to win. But with Christ in your life, you will win and take over all things, for you can stand upon his word, the rock who is your foundation, and use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, not in a swear word, but rather in glory and honor, and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am going to claim that crown. I am going to win in my life, for I'm going to bring glory to him. As Christians, we have been commissioned to fight principalities and powers. We have been given dominion over strongholds. And these strongholds are the thoughts of people's minds, so that they can receive freedom from that prison that most people tie themselves up in, because the world tells them that they're not good enough, that they'll never amount to anything, that they're a terrible person. Rather, Christ came to say you have the power, that you can release these people so that they might fulfill my potential in the world, that those walls that they've imprisoned themselves in can be broken down with love and compassion. But have you experienced that? Have you freed people in your area, in your families, your neighbors? Church, step up. Church, come forward. Church, make a difference in this world, for this world needs you. You have the power if you're willing to claim it. You have the storehouses of heaven to open for you if you're willing to believe and have faith in him to say, just test me in this and I will pour my abundance into your life. You know, God knows that we're weak. And God knows that we prefer to believe in lies. Paul knew this because he had to have his mind forcibly changed because what he was doing to the early church. Saul, as he was known, was destroying the body of Christ, the believers which had come to faith. And Paul believed that he was doing the right thing, bringing glory to God, when in fact he was hurting God's body upon this world. This man had to come face to face with God. And this man which once destroys, now attempts to create and encourage, says to those whom he has seen and ministered to, and he's encouraging people to become living sacrifices, loved ones of God. If you're dead inside, you can only sacrifice yourself once. But if you are alive, you can continue to sacrifice yourself to God every day. You can change your life. You can sacrifice those bits of your life which you know do you no good. For you can grow and develop and become what God desires of you. Gain your destiny. Gain your purpose. Have a place which is full of life and full of joy and full of love and peace and contentment and power. How then do we please God? We must have faith. To gain faith, which is a gift from God, we must wash ourselves in the Word so we can develop a godly wisdom. To wash ourselves in the Word, we must be doers of the Word and be empowered by God's Holy Spirit so we can understand the Word. For without God's Holy Spirit, then His Word brings condemnation and death into the world. But with the Holy Spirit, it brings life. And it brings renewal, and it brings the peoples to a place where they have new minds. The issue is that we prefer to do what the world asks of us, which means we fail to please God. And then we wonder why our life's experience is cold and an empty one, and our prayers go unanswered, and our religious experience seems meaningless and lacks the excitement and power and commitment that we have been promised. Because we're afraid to step up and claim it. I urge you all here to reach out to Him. The one who wishes to give you life and purpose. Do not abandon your search, but rather let it encourage you. Do not abandon the changing of your minds, but rather reach out to the Creator who wants you to be with Him and is waiting for you and is saying, "Come to me." Don't worship the things of this world, but worship the things of God. For the things of this world pale into comparison to the beauty and greatness of God. For God holds the universe in His hand. And He knows every hair of your head. God brings to you life, peace, joy, and contentment. He frees you from a life which is empty and full of fear. And we are able to gain purpose and discover our place in God's plan. We can be freed from struggle and worthless fighting. We are able to grow and discover and have wisdom and love and gentleness and self-control in our lives through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Surely you would prefer that to what the world offers you. You know, we struggle to understand. But God is so simple. We struggle to reason, yet God's wisdom is so easily understandable. God desires for you to have a relationship with Him. The one who died for you and then rose from the dead has a purpose for you. It's clear, for it is in His Word. Our existence comes into focus if we know Him. What was once obscure becomes crystal clear, and we can rejoice. Life is for us, and we should have the power to conquer it, for we are free. You are prince and princesses. You are servants of the Most High. You are sons and daughters of the one who created the universe. You are being kept alive by the one who allows lightning bolts to strike the earth. For He has mercy upon you, and He wishes to free you from the curses in your life. But are you going to allow Him? And are you going to transform your minds? So rather than base thoughts, they are the thoughts of heaven themselves that would inhabit your mind. What do you want here this evening as a people of God? To be a people of God or to be a people of the world? I know where I desire to be, where I wish to be. I no longer want my thoughts to conform to the thoughts of the world. Rather, I wish them to be transformed and renewed, so that I can be tested and be approved by God's will, which is pleasing and perfect to Him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray for those who are gathered here this evening. I'd ask that You would bless them and encourage them. And dear Lord, if there's people here who desire You, if there's people here who want to reach out to You here this evening, that You would send Your Holy Spirit, that they wouldn't resist it. Let's spend a few moments of quiet where you can allow God to minister to you, that you can allow God to speak to you, that you can allow God to rejuvenate and renew you. And if you've walked away with God, that he would give you greater power and wisdom and understanding and draw you closer to him. Spend a few moments of quiet then with him. We praise you and thank you, dear Lord. Thank you for all the things that you do in our lives. And we reach out to you and praise your name. Amen.